I just got done saying that this could very well be the end of the Phil-only podcast today. I don't know. Because I told you that I predicted that, well, I did say this is going to be week to week, see how it goes, and this may be the last one. I don't know. I have no idea. I'm constantly amazed at my ability to rebound from all kinds of disaster, you know. In fact, I had a very good friend of mine say to me one time, Phil, this is my best friend, so maybe I should have expected this to come out of the mouth of one's best friend. But this was many years ago. He said, one thing about you, Henry, he said, you just don't quit. He said, you refuse to quit. That came out of nowhere, too. You know, it came out of nowhere. And I was really amazed because I had never, I didn't think anybody, I knew it about myself, but I didn't think anybody noticed, you know, honest to God. I mean, that's the literally the kind of guy that I am. I just go through life. I figure people notice other things than that. You know, I think people notice, or I hope people notice, or I believe people notice, or I wish people notice, or they notice the spectacular, marvelous, groovy, big ass shit that you do, right? But they don't notice the moments when you're struggling, you know, you hope they don't notice the moments when you're getting your ass kicked. And, because what the hell's that about? You know, you don't want that to be the end-all be-all. You don't want that to be the definer, you know, of your lift. And, here was my friend. But, you know, if somebody's going to notice, it's going to be your friends. He's going to be your best friend in the world. And he said, you refuse to quit, man. And when he said that to me, I remember thinking, first of all, I've had a lot of downs as well as ups, and I have come back from them, but I never looked at it that way. I never thought, what a stubborn motherfucker you are, Henry. You know, but hey, what else are you going to do? You know, what else are you going to do? You gonna just throw it in? Or you're just going to somehow you make yourself comfortable with a state of being. You know, you're okay. Here I am, and I wish I had more, or I wish I had a different, or I wish I had some other set of circumstances. I wish. But hey, you know, I'll get around to it someday. That's really what it's about. I mean, so the other day I'm watching The Iceman Cometh. I don't want to come off too literate, although, well, but I was watching a production of this. If you've ever heard of the play The Iceman Cometh, then you're ahead of most people, I guess. And then if you know what it's about, then you're even further ahead of most people. And then if you've reflected on the meaning of it and you've actually, you know, sat there and go, then you're probably just so wonderful a human being that it's beyond any. Hey, by the way, can I just ask a question? Is Gordon Ramsay the guy that yells at people? Is that the chef? Because if it was me, I'd kick his fucking ass. All right. So, I'm watching this cat, and I'm watching this movie, I should say, and this movie of this play. And basically what it's about is a bunch of guys sitting around sucking down booze and waiting for Hinky, or Hickey, rather, who is the good time sales guy who's going to come to them and, you know, he always arrives and life is good when Hickey arrives, but only this time Hickey arrives and he wants them all to essentially change their ways. I don't want to give away the play, mostly because I'm not really sure I remember how it goes, but the ultimate takeaway for me, to use that word, thank God there's a word like takeaway, because I couldn't think of what other word I would use, and I mean that, was that you get comfortable in your failure. You know, you do. I guess you do. It's never happened to me, though, but some people, I suppose, get comfortable in their failure. You know, one of the problems with me is that I walked around for a long time in my life with a big fucking chip on my shoulder. And I mean, I was ready to kick somebody's ass. I mean, I used to say to my ex-wife, one of these days I'm going to kill somebody. I'm serious. I'm probably saying something that's going to be misunderstood. And if any series of homicides is committed within, you know, a few square miles of where I am right now, no doubt they'll be looking at me. Or maybe not. Maybe these cops aren't bright enough around here. But no, I'm not that kind of a guy. But I used to say, and maybe that's why, you know, in my life I've had these series of conflicts, these internal conflicts, because if you got it within you, and you know you have it within you, that if somebody looks at you the wrong way one day, you're going to kill somebody, then you got a lot of shit to work out, right? So, such was the case. I'm not saying it's the case now, because I've gotten myself into a whole other mindset. And one of these days, maybe I'll tell you all about it, you know, what I did. But I don't really feel like doing it right now, because let me put it to you this way. You know, you don't need to hear about somebody else's goddamn fucking religion, okay? So I am not going to bother you with that. You know, you are inundated, you are buried in just endless mounds of shit when it comes to religion. Endless, you know, I got the answer now, man. Let me lay it on. So, me too. Me too. But, and that's a real personal thing, and I'm not going to get into a whole thing about that, but, you know, there was a time. But I was swallowing all that stuff. I kept every day, you know, keeping it down, keep on fucking coming back somehow from whatever it was that was keeping me down. And, you know, nobody, of course, in this world, nobody really wants to take responsibility for why their life is a piece of shit. So they invariably go back to mommy and daddy, right? Well, and yeah, in my case, there was a mommy and there was a daddy, and things probably could have been better. But, and in fact, they could have, I imagine, but I can't keep on doing that, you know. Nobody can keep on just saying, well, you see, when I was a kid, because you're an adult now, you're all grown up, so get your shit together, figure it out, and push your fucking ass out the front door, and let's get this motherfucker on the road. Now, for me, I didn't even think it was about mommy and daddy. For the longest time in my life, I just thought I was just one sack of shit, just walking from one place to the next. And I lived like that. And when success came my way, I figured I was lucky. And when shit fell apart, I figured that, well, that was just the way that it was, you know. But I kept on, you know, bouncing back from it. Reflecting on that now, because as I said, at the time that my friend said that to me, you know what, Henry, you refused to quit, I didn't even know what he was talking about. It had never occurred to me. I had never thought to look at my life that way or to look at myself that way. It was probably the very first time anybody said anything to me about myself that I had never, ever considered. Never had I ever considered that. I mean, people might have said to me things like, you know, Phil, you're really smart. Oh, yeah, I'd heard that ever since I was a kid. You know, Phil, you're really funny. I'd heard that ever since I was a kid. You know, Phil, a lot of different observations that people make about you that may be familiar, you know. And at times tell you Phil, you're really angry. You know, Phil, you're really bitter. You know, Phil, you're really cynical. I used to hear that. I heard that ever since I was a fucking kid. Ever since I was like nine, you know. You're really, not nine, but when I was in high school, I had a side to my personality, you know, since high school, where I remember this chick that was at a party one night. I used to be I used to be a senior in high school. Yeah. You know, at one time I was a senior in high school, but I was. And anyway, this girl, I think, was attracted to me on some level. I don't know what, but she showed up at a party one night where I was holding forth like a real asshole. I don't know what I was saying, but it wasn't really very nice. You know, I think I was ripping on everybody. And I remember her just saying to me, you know, I really thought you were a nice guy. That really hurt me, you know, because I put a lot of stock in what hot-looking girls thought of me, as, gee, every guy did. But I took that particularly hard. Now, maybe there were some dudes, you know, some guys that would have thought, oh, I don't give a shit what you think. But she was making a point. She even used the word cynical about me. And that became a negative. That became a negative. Not a positive, a negative in my mind. Cynical. Cynical, you know, I've heard cynical defined, as we all have, as a romantic who's been disappointed, okay? That's not such a terrible goddamn thing. That's somebody who's reacting to life in a fairly normal way. And maybe that guy could use a little more life lesson. Maybe that guy could use a little more, you know, happiness. But it's not a terrible failing. You're going to pull yourself out of that someday. But goddamn it, if I didn't just take that as a horrible rip. Because a lot of people would say that to me, and they were mostly female, and they were really, really disappointed. Now, as I think back on it, I recognize any disappointment expressed by any female to me was all about my mom, and that's a thing that one of these days, if I get to know you better, I'll tell you about. But, you know, what's the saying? If it's not one thing, it's your mother. So, yeah, that's me. You know, that's me probably more so than most. So I used to hear that all the time. You know, I used to hear that all the time. I used to hear what a, you know, this, that, or something else you are. But I never heard anybody say to me, you don't give up. You don't quit. And that is a pretty nice piece of, I think that's very high praise for anybody, because look around you, man, and what do you see? You know, people that quit. I mean, the world is unhappy because these people have quit. That's why you have unhappy people, because they fucking gave up. They did. They gave. I don't care what they're unhappy about. They fucking quit. You know, if you got unhappiness somewhere, I can guarantee you that you've found people that have given up. Well, I mean, no, nothing I mean. You fucking gave up. Because if there's one thing you got to do in this world is either keep pushing forward until you find a solution or die. You know, everybody loves to quote that goddamn Shawshank Redemption. If I never hear about that movie again, it'll be too soon. Yes, it was a great movie, man. It wasn't the greatest goddamn movie ever made. I don't know what the hell, you know, man, that movie just moved me, you know. I don't know, I must be missing something about that flight. It was a damn good movie, don't get me wrong, but it did not change my fucking life in the least. I saw a great performance there by Tim Robbins and Morgan Freeman and all those guys. But everybody quotes that one line from that movie, which is, or two lines or three, you know, either get busy living or get busy dying. Well, that's pretty much what it is. Only I'm not really sure. I think that's a fancy way of saying keep searching and keep pushing forward and keep, you know, keep at it, man. And don't give up until you've gotten there. Or, you know, you might as well just goddamn roll up in a ball and die, because you're not going to, you're not going to find anything that's even close to what you would call happiness. You know, this thing about there's a saying along the lines of, you never arrive. You ever heard that? It means that all of us are waiting for that bitchin' time when everything is better, you know? Well, that doesn't happen. That's what you never arrive means. That doesn't happen. You're not going to make it there, man, because every time you get to where you think you wanted to be, there's some other thing that you need to do. There's some other thing you're unhappy about. There's some other mountain you got to climb. There's some other, you know, thing. So I don't mean it in that sense. But I do mean this. I mean, you're going to be in a place where you just aren't doing shit because you've quit. And the world is to blame. You got to get out of there, man. I mean, you know, and you can get to a place where you aren't blaming everybody more. So when people say you never arrive, yeah, you do. Or certain areas of realization that you do arrive at, certain places of self-realization, you know, self-awareness that you do arrive at. Fortunately for me, I've that's happened for me. You know, I've gone from being in one kind of state of mind about things, and I've moved forward into being in another state of mind about things. And then there's a really exalted state for me, which is I just don't give a shit anymore about how the world sees me so long as I'm, you know, seeing myself the right way. And that's, for me, that's a big one, because look at the business that I'm in. You know, I mean, this is a line of work where you have to gain some approval from people you never met before in your life, but you're never going to get that. It's a crazy reality and a crazy fact of life that the only way you're ever going to be successful in the entertainment business is not giving a shit about what people think of you. That's honest to God. That's it. That is the absolute truth. You cannot gain any success until you are at a place where you just don't care about what anybody else thinks. And it's the same thing, and I suppose in different ways, it's the same thing the rest of life. You know, they talk about being graded in an athletic arena. You're not going to be really all that great until you loosen up and you don't give a shit. You know, you just get up there, as Willie Stargell used to say. Willie Stargell played for the Pittsburgh Pirates. He's a big power hitter. And he used to say, you can't really start winning baseball games until you start playing country baseball, is what he called it. And country baseball was getting your uniform dirty and like sandlot baseball. Getting your uniform dirty, going out and having fun. Go out and have fun. You know, that's when you're leaving the ranks of always getting your ass kicked to the ranks of you're scaring people, you're competitive, you're unpredictable, you win games, you know. Now, can you sustain being an excellent ball player or anything else by just going out and having fun? No, you gotta do other shit too, you know. You gotta do other shit too. Now, I can tell you this, and I don't mean to throw this in anybody's face, and I'm not going to, you know, I just tell you this. Nobody in this business that I'm in does more prep. Nobody in the business that I'm in does more in the way of deconstructing what he does than me. I'm always thinking about it, and I can tell you that I used to put hours and hours and fucking hours of preparation into each show. And you want to know something? That didn't gain me any more success than the days when I wasn't putting hours and hours and hours into each show. As a matter of fact, people don't really understand when it comes to what I do, and there's a million of us. You know, there's a lot of guys that are doing podcasts, radio shows, whatever. But I know better than anybody how to do what I do. And it only came after years and years of struggling through the process of trying to figure out what makes a successful space of time on the air. And one thing I found was it doesn't really matter how much prep, so-called, you put into a show, because your whole goddamn life is prep. Then you have to take that life and you have to isolate those moments that are going to work. And 3 hours of prep, 4 hours of show prep, oftentimes would result in diddly shit when it came to something that was worthwhile to listen to on the air. And I mean, there were times I would just go home and I was ready to beat my brain, my own brains in, you know. What did I just do on this F-U-C-K-E-D show of mine? Now, I recall the day that I, you know, recognized that it wasn't the amount of time, but it was what you saw in each day that made something worthwhile to do in the air. I was standing outside of WCCO in Minneapolis on a typical summer fall night. And it was about midnight, and I was having a cigarette because I used to go downstairs from the control room at WCCO, down the elevator, out the front door, and smoke a cigarette during the news break. Because that's the kind of addicted cigarette smoker that I was. And the show was not going well. And there I was thinking, and I thought of, I don't even know what it was. That's how memorable it was. But I thought, you know, this, that. And I thought, oh, shit, that's a really cool thing to do on the air. I went upstairs with about, 30 seconds worth of prep? And I had a great hour. I had a really funny hour. I had a great hour. I had a lot of audience participation. It was a fantastic hour. And that was the day that I realized, it doesn't fucking matter. You know, and now people will get upset with you. Well, I mean, you know, you have to do what you have to do. Whatever it takes is what it takes. I used to get angry at people who would say to me, it is what it is. It is what it is. Isn't that profound? I never knew what the hell they were talking about until I, you know, had that moment of clarity. Well, that's true. You know, whatever it is, what it is the same way. It's the same thing as saying, whatever it takes is what it takes. So if it only took you 30 seconds of prep to come up with that bit, well, hey, how about that? How did I have such a great hour of radio? You spent 30 seconds coming up with that bit while you're having a cigarette out on 7th Street in Minneapolis, Minnesota in 1993. That's what happened. And from that day forward, I realized that there was no amount of time that you can put into anything in the formal sense of work, in the formal sense of the 9-to-5 work period. There was no amount of time you were going to put into anything that was going to guarantee anything. It didn't mean diddly squat, man. It had more to do with the idea. That's what you got to find. Anytime, day or night, morning, noon, or night. That's middle of the night, 1 o'clock, wake up, write it down kind of stuff, you know. Now, some people may say, well, sure, I mean, you didn't know that, Phil? Let me just tell you something there, booby. You know, yeah, I know it. But you can get so addicted to that kind of asinine, work ethic, if you want to put a word to it, that suddenly you think all you got to do is walk around scratching your ass carrying a notepad. No, you can't do that either. You got to sit there with a cup of coffee and stare out a window with your fucking tablet in front of you. That ain't going to get it done either. What makes you think you're going to get inspiration there sitting in a Starbucks? Well, I do. Uh-huh. Well, it's easy to say, but, you know, if you do, then God bless you, man, because it doesn't happen that way for me. You know. One of the questions that I ask on this podcast I do called The Science of the Funny, one of the things I ask everybody, and I don't know that I've... first of all, I haven't gotten 100% agreement on this from people, which is, when did it stop being, for you as a comic, when did it stop being fun and it started being work? And what I really meant to say was... And I think I defined it this way in some instances. When did it stop? When did you leave the kitchen where you were cracking your friends up and the living room where you were cracking your friends and your family up? When did you leave that area of creative, freedom that area of happiness, and suddenly you realized, oh, shit, I got to go and I got to work. I gotta write a show. I gotta go on stage. I gotta, you know, I was talking, we had Whitney Cummings on the show, and she said, She said exactly the thing that I've experienced. She said, yeah, I leave my house where I'm having fun and I'm talking to people and I'm living my life, and I got to drive. I got to drive a half hour through all this traffic and go down to this club, and I got to work. See, here's the thing. I'm not trying to say that this is not about what you do for a living. I'm just giving you, you know, examples from my own life. It doesn't make any difference what you do. You could be, you know, a scientist, man. I mean, maybe you're a climatologist. There's got to be some area of being a climatologist that's just absolutely endlessly fascinating for you. Would I call that having fun when you go to work? Well, I don't know. Whatever you call it, you know. You're a doctor. You're a brain surgeon. What do you mean having fun, Phil? I don't exactly have fun. I'm operating on a man's brain. I understand. What I'm saying is where you feel like you're where you should be. This is exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. I know exactly what the hell it is I'm doing. Now, a guy said something to me the other day that is the truest goddamn thing I ever heard in my life. You want to hear it? Because this is probably going to solve a lot of problems for you guys. For a lot of you guys. I'm not, you know, I'm not here to solve problems. This is not some therapy session. I'm just talking to you about, you know, what I have heard and seen and done and all this shit. But listen to this, because this is going to be a, I would say for a good 50% of you, this is going to be a big MF-er, man. Don't do what makes you happy. Do what you're good at.
Well, yeah, it's the same thing.
No, bullshit. No, it's not. No, it's not. First of all, when I heard that, I thought, wow, that's... See, what when you say what I... Let me do what makes me happy as opposed to do what I'm good at. When I say to somebody, I want to do what makes me happy, I'm generally thinking about something that I haven't really done yet. But I'm sure it's going to make me happy as opposed to the shit that I'm doing now, right? Which is what I'm good at. Well, I want to do what makes me happy. Well, how the hell? What are you good at doing, man? Are you doing that yet? Well, what do you mean, what am I good at? What are you good at? Because whatever you're good at has got to be something that gives you some level of satisfaction and happiness. Otherwise, you wouldn't be good at it. You just wouldn't be good at it. You can't be good at something that is a terror and a horror, and every day is just a grind to do. It's impossible. It's fucking impossible. I'm just bored doing this shit. Well, I got news for you, Charlie. You ain't good at it. Are you kidding me? I'm the best there. Really? No. Wrong. Maybe you were good at it once. You ain't good at it anymore. So you got to do what you're good at. And when I heard that, man, now that doesn't mean you're settling for something that is less than you. You know, we all have what we call this potential, and we don't know really how far we can go within the realm of that thing called potential until we go there. So you gotta always fucking go there. But what I'm saying is, and I believe that what this individual was saying who said it to me, was keep doing what you're good at. But, you know, that doesn't mean you've discovered all of it. It doesn't mean that what you are good doing, you have found all of those areas of what you're good at. What you're good at, not what makes you happy. Get this goddamn phrase out of the... I personally think, and I used to be... I used to preach that shit all the time.
You gotta be happy. What makes you happy?
People would always look at me, and maybe the same thing with you. They look at you, I don't know. I mean, what are you talking about? What makes me happy? What would make me happy? Yeah, what would make you happy? Oh, to be a great Broadway opera singer or some shit. Is there such a thing as a Broadway opera singer? Or am I to become a great opera musical star? You know. Oh, really? Yeah. You're pretty sure? Yeah, I'm sure. My whole life I've dreamed of being an opera singer. And what are you doing now, man? What am I doing now? Yeah. I'm singing, advertising jingles. You make a lot of money doing that, aren't you? Yeah, I'm in high demand doing that. You good at it? Yes. Well, why would you want to leave that? It's boring. It's not, I don't see myself as being an advertising jingle singer. I see myself as an opera singer. So you're feeling like, you feel kind of like a schmuck doing what you do. You see everybody else? Well, yeah. Well, see, there's another thing. You're comparing yourself to someone else, and you're saying, look at all the shit they're doing. You don't know how good that dude's got it, man. You have no idea. You know, you have no idea what that guy's doing. You just think that they're doing all this great shit. They turn around and they look at you and they say, wow, that's kind of cool. Look at this guy making a living and bringing to life this area of life, this realm, this world. He's bringing to life for people on the radio or on television, singing about these things. Who are these people that sing these things, you know? I mean, you just don't know how people see you, and if that's important to you, you know. Of course, it's important if you're an entertainer to have people like what you do, but having people consider your life and the quality of it and the kind of person you are, that's you don't have any idea what they're thinking, and obviously they don't know 100%. Well, you do. But let's just take that example. You know, the guy, I want to be an opera singer. Okay. So what do you do? You're going to shit can singing commercials? Yeah. Why? Because that's not me. Yes, it is. There's nothing wrong with that. You're making a good living doing that. Will you tell me I'm going to do that the rest of my life? No, I'm not saying you got to do that the rest of your life. You can go ahead and branch out. Audition for these other gigs, man. Audition for these other things. Of course. Go places and do things and test your ability. Not what makes you happy, but what you're capable of, man. That's what we're talking about here. Well, I don't know. Because to myself included, as well as most everybody else, that sounds like bullshit. You know, it doesn't sound too attractive. It sounds very, I don't know. Why do I want to go and test my ability, man? I want to go out and I want to have fun. Well, what I'm trying to say to you, and what I think a lot of people have been trying to say, is there's no fun. You know how they say there's no success like success? I have a slight variation of that. There's no fun like success. So you want to have fun with your career, then be successful, because that's where the fun is, man. I mean, that's, you are doing something proficiently, you're doing something successfully, you're doing something that works. It's something that's not breaking down in 2 seconds because you're such a shit mechanic, you can't fix a this or a that. It's not something that, you know, is your best, but it ain't really cutting it. It's what you know, and it's what you do really well. And so keep finding those areas of capability. That's that. I ain't lecturing you here. I hope you realize this is mostly shit I tell myself. You know, I'm watching this movie, by the way, and please don't misunderstand me. It's called Burnt. I'm not watching it, but I'm looking at the trailer for it. And it's about who? Wolfgang Puck or something? Is that what it is? It's about a guy that, a chef. And the way they directed this thing, and am I Gordon Ramsay, chef and executive producer? Is this about you, Gordon? Is that what this movie's about? Anyway, they make it look as if this dude, it's Bradley Cooper, and they make it look like it might as well be American Sniper all over again. You know, in other words, like this huge, dramatic, and crazed, and sometimes fatal and sometimes successful rise to the top as a cook. Well, frankly, I mean, that's, you know, I who am I to say, man? That's what it is. That's what it is. You can be a fireman. You can be a cop. You can be a chef, but doing what you're good at is what we ought to be looking for, right? So I tell myself that, and I, what am I good at? You know, what do I know how to do? You know, well, I know how to do this. I know how to do that. But is this it? We ain't never gonna find out until you do it, until you push out and do whatever else it is you're interested in. That's where I think that the whole happiness thing comes in, you know, or that's where I think the you know, do what you're happy part comes in. What you do is you do what you're good at, and you keep trying to find other things that you're good at. But just don't make the mistake of going out and finding what makes you happy, because I'm telling you right now, that's what hangs up a lot of people. And I regret all the times I ever said to someone, do what makes you happy, because that is the most, that's potentially destructive advice. Because everybody thinks they want to be this, that, or something else. Everybody thinks generally they want to be something that's they see on TV or that looks glamorous or that looks really exciting. They have a dream. They this would make me so happy if I was this or that. And God damn it, man. One of the things that I think we could probably eliminate from life if we stopped all this bullshit, we could probably at least eliminate this much. People becoming bitterly disappointed with a career choice that never lived up to what they wanted it to be, even though they worked their asses off. I think that's about the saddest goddamn thing I've ever heard of in my life. Because I just don't believe that you're going to fail at anything that you are capable of, man, unless you're just so misdirected in your dreams that you're taking on shit that you should not have taken on in the first place. And why would anybody do that? Why would someone take on a career choice that they never had a shot at being successful at? Why? Because I'm telling you, there's no reason for it. I don't think. I may be talking out of my ass, but I don't think so. Because if there's one thing that we all should know about ourselves, I'm talking about a career choice, man. I'm not saying, you know, any particular individual project. Like, for instance, I want that Irving Spur account, man. What is that? Building the tallest skyscraper in downtown bumfuck. You know, did you get the job? No, I didn't. I failed. I don't mean that. That's a project. I mean, that you're going to have ups and downs when it comes to that stuff. I mean the actual career, the vocation, the whatever you want to call it. And to choose a life's work, say, this is what I want to do, and you're a continual failure at it because, you know, you just, not because you're not working hard enough, you're working your ass off. You're working 10, 12 hours a day, and you just ain't making it work. I'm not talking about making a business work. See, that's another area. I'm not talking about that, man. I'm not saying I tried to make this restaurant go and it failed. What are you talking about, Henry? I'm not talking about your goddamn business. I'm talking about your career. What are you? I'm a restaurateur. What is that exactly? A restaurateur. What is that supposed to mean? You know, I serve food. You serve food. Well, give me something that defines what that is, man. I mean, you know, are you a chef? Is that what? Yes, I started out as it. Well, then that's what you do. Well, I want to be a restaurant owner. All right. You want to be a restaurant owner, and I don't think that you know, I'm not saying that you can't be a restaurant owner, but obviously there's some other stuff you need to get to take care of. Are you a pretty good chef? Yeah, I'm a damn good one. Where? How? When? Show me. You know, get back to what you do. I'm the best there is. Well, then goddamn do that. And the opportunities for opening up restaurants or the opportunities for becoming more than just a chef, becoming the owner of a successful bistro of some kind, these will present themselves as you continue to practice that thing that you are proficient at. Business opportunities. See, one of the things that, you know, being a chef doesn't mean that you're a business guy. It doesn't mean that you're the brightest bulb on the tree, man, when it comes to hearing someone's proposal as to business. It doesn't mean that at all. It may mean that you're the biggest schmuck walking. Because you're so focused on getting your restaurant and not focused on the thing that you are good at, which is preparing and creating these dishes, that you're maybe I need a business manager. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe you just need to hit the books when it comes to, maybe you're not good, man, at being a restaurant owner. Have you ever thought about that? Or maybe here's the answer. Maybe it's a matter of becoming such a great chef, which is what you are, right? Yes, I am. You're good at that, yeah. Maybe you're so goddamn good that somebody just wants to use your name and put it on a restaurant. Let them do all the goddamn work. And you sign a deal that says, I get XYZ amount of money from the restaurant that you've just opened up with my name on it because I'm so goddamn good at cooking food that my name means something, you know. And I'm not going to go out and start a restaurant and start all this stuff and do all this stuff and be all this stuff and work my ass off until, you know, I'm no longer a good chef. I'm just a half-assed restaurant owner. And, you know, I that one really escaped me. That one was one, I could not figure that to save my ass for the longest. I don't know what was meant by a lot of that stuff, you know, until someone said to me, you know, you got to do what you're good at. Forget about what makes you happy. And that was, it was said in such a matter-of-fact way that I felt like the world's biggest schmuck when I heard it, like I didn't know it sooner. It was a eye-opener for me. And it sure does clarify all kinds of other stuff, you know. You don't have to spend the rest of your life running around with your head up your ass trying to figure out this, that, or something else. You know, look, you want to make money. I mean, I don't know. I really, honest to Christ, I don't know.
I want to make $1 million.
There are people who are good at making money. But I don't know exactly what that means. Are they investment bankers? Are they gamblers? You know, if it is, in point of fact, a thing you're good at, as opposed to something that you want to do, what do you want to do? I want to make a lot of money. All right, I think you have to figure out how to do that, you know. What is that? I'm going to be a salesman. I'm going to play the stock market. You know, that's the schmucko, you know, life choice of, remember when everybody was day, I shouldn't say remember when everybody was day trading, because maybe you don't know anybody that was day trading, but I remember back in those really fat years before everything went to hell in 2008, but not necessarily 2006 or 7, but those really fat years in the 90s on into the early 2000s when all kinds of bread was being made at all kinds of things. A lot of it really ridiculous. The whole dot-com bubble thing, you remember that? And I remember people were day trading themselves at home on their little computers, looking at the stocks and doing other bullshit. Some of the smartest people in the world that you know, you can name the smartest people that you know, some of the smartest people that I knew were doing that and losing their asses. Losing their asses. Losing a lot of money. Now, yeah, I mean, there's probably people that I knew that were, I don't know anybody that, I think the Swede, my good buddy the Swede, was actually doing a little bit of day trading here and there and was making a couple of bucks. I think he was, you know, I mean, I'm going to have to get, we're supposed to have dinner next week. And I'm going to sit down and one of the things I'm going to ask him, remember those days you were day trading? Yeah. Were you making any bread? Because I know he's, that cat now is doing okay. You know, this is a guy that, the Swede is a guy who's now in sort of semi-retirement. This cat goes off and rides fucking horses in Mongolia now. Seriously, he was just off. He just came back from a trip where he was camping with the whatever they are, the Bedouin. You know, not the Bedouin of the Middle East, but these are dudes that are living out there in Mongolia. And they've got their little Mongolian barbecue thing happening. I don't know, you know, something. He's in like a Bedouin tent, and he's riding a horse across the... I'm like, what the hell, man? Yeah, next trip, because he's got a friend, and they go out, and the next trip they want to do is to Afghanistan. I said, are you kidding? Well, you know, this guy... And then another one they want to do is to the southern tip of South America. I don't know. It's just one of those things, you know, you talk about your bucket list. I don't think he's got a bucket list. I think it's just shit that he wants to do. That's what I call it. It's not a bucket. Have you got a bucket list? No, I just got shit I want to do. Bucket list. Some more shit that I want to do. SIWD. So the Swede was day trading, and I'm going to have to ask him when we get together, were you making any money at it? But something tells me that he was. Why? He's good at it. You know, and someone may say, well, anybody can be good at that. No, not anybody can be good at that. I think that if you take a guy who is not ordinarily good at those things and you try to make him good at that, you're going to have to strip away, or you're going to have to compartmentalize, or you're going to have to mute a lot of areas of that person's personality, those things that make that person sort of recognizable to others, and you're going to have to almost make him unrecognizable to other people during that period of time that he is being successful at day trading or whatever you want to call it. You're going to have to, in other words, change that individual into somebody else. And the first guy you got to convince that that's a good idea for is the guy himself. Or a good idea to do is the guy himself. Because he won't care.
Well, you know, here you got to do this, 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 and this. But people are not going to even fucking recognize you. I don't give a shit, man. It's going to make me successful? Yeah, well, I'll do it. Well, you may not like it. That's the big one. What, are you kidding me? Anything that'll make me a lot of money and be a successful, day trader, I'll do it. No. I mean, people are not willing to do that. It becomes just impossible. But there were people doing it. They were trying to do it. They thought it was a mathematical thing. They thought there was a system. I was, you know, you always got to love people like that. You know, that was the first thing. I was just doing DraftKings this past weekend, and I was looking at the list of the players, and I was looking at the a million different contests, and yes, DraftKings is a sponsor of mine, and yes, I endorse and heartily endorse DraftKings as a way of having a lot of fun. As a way of having a lot of fun. If you love football, if you love the sport of football, if you love following the games and the players, and it gives you a lot of joy, I heartily recommend DraftKings. As a way of making money, I would never in a million years recommend DraftKings or any other opportunity like that. I would be, it would be criminal of me to do that. Criminal! But as a way of having a ball, it's a great thing. Fantastic! Will you win sometime? Hell yeah. How many times? I don't know. I have no idea. I have no idea. But I had fun. I played DraftKings this past... I got my team together for the weekend. I got my ass kicked this past weekend. Got my ass kicked. I'm laughing about it now. I tried to implement something that I should have known better. It was my little system. I got a system now. Some people have a system where they just, well, I'll just pick all of the very top players in the league. How can I miss if I pick all the top players in the league? Well, you can miss because those guys may not have the best weekend. Or every other one maybe had a good weekend. Or maybe every other one had an average weekend. Or maybe they all had a decent weekend, but it wasn't anything that's going to make any money. You know, other guys had better weekends. So it's like picking all the favorites in a horse race. You're either not going to make any money, which is going to make somebody really upset, the guy that wants to make a lot of money. Or because you're not going to make a lot of money picking favorites because the odds aren't going to be any good. Or the horses won't come in at all. They got beat by long shots. Or they got beat by that horse that's just a, you know, wasn't as much an odds-on favorite as that one. So there is no system, as far as I know. Some people will tell you, I got a system. So-and-so has a system. Well, I was doing my system and I got my ass kicked, but I'm laughing about it because my life, it doesn't turn on it. It's money that I can afford to lose. I didn't lose one wink of sleep last night. I just had a ball doing it. You know, as I was watching the games, I'm sitting there, and my girlfriend is saying, "Oh, you're doing DraftKings again?" I said, "Yeah, you know, ming, 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 ming." And I'm looking at all these players, and I'm trying to outsmart the outsmarters, and I'm trying to be smarter than the guys that are smarter than me. And, you know, but I don't know what it is to be good at making money. I don't know what that means. I know what it is to be good at this, good at that, good at, but good at making money? Now, there are guys that are good at making money, but I gotta believe that what they're really good at is the thing that they do to make that money, like stocks, like investment banking, like, you know, being in broadcasting. I made a lot of money in this business, a lot of money. But am I good at making money? No, I'm good at what I do. I'm good at what I do. Is it what you love, Phil? I'll tell you what I love doing. I love doing shit that I'm good at. How's that? How's that for an answer, you know? You know, you have to love. You have to be happy in your work. I'm happy doing what I know how to do. That's my answer for that one. I'm happy doing what I'm good at doing. Man, and I never looked at things that way before. Now, I know it's probably not a big revelation to a lot of people, but it is to me. It is to me, and that was a life changer. I mean, that was such a heavy thing. It was a life changer because, you know, I'm saying something that I'd never considered, and that was this whole idea that doing what makes you happy is bullshit. Looking at it that way is bullshit. Looking at it this way, do what you're good at, is a far healthier way of looking at stuff, you know? I don't know. I've known guys like my whole life. My best friend in this world is a guy that worked as an executive at a credit, I think it was a credit card company. You know, to be honest with you, I don't know. But he was an executive at a he got his education and got his entire orientation in the banking business. He started with Bank of America, and he moved on to, I think it was like a credit card company or a credit issuing company of some kind. But this dude is also into computer programming. In fact, my friend, well, I won't mention his name because I don't want you to, you know, start sending him nasty letters, but this is the guy who developed the program for demon dialing, which was the way to dial people's... This is the cat that came up with a program that calls your house when you're in the middle of dinner and says, "Hi, we have a deal for you," you know, where it gets everybody like completely pissed off. I can't for the life of me, and yet, the funny thing about this guy, he's one of the funniest guys I know, and when we hang, we are constantly laughing, but we never talk about what we do. We never talk about, "Hey, Phil, tell me about, you know, your business," and I never say, "Hey, man, tell me about your business." We just laugh about shit, you know, stuff we see, things we've heard, things we observe, stuff we saw on television, people we know, and he's one of the funniest guys. He plays the guitar. And when we grew up as kids, we both envisioned for ourselves lives as artists. As artists. He, I'm sure, felt that he would go into songwriting. He was in a band. Like, what kid wasn't in a band beyond, you know, the guys like me? I was the guy, I was one of the kids that went to the band and watched them practice and watched them gig. I wasn't in the band, but... We envisioned for ourselves lives as artists, you know, and funny guys, bullshit like that, and we're hanging out. And anyway, he didn't wind up doing that at all. This guy went into the
into the banking business. This guy went to school, and he took whatever you take. He was the first guy that I ever met that I knew. He was the very first guy I knew who had a computer, and it was back in the early 80s. It wasn't quite the 70s. I don't know when, you know, home-use computers came out. But he had a Texas Instruments computer. Remember those? He said, look at this, man. You know, I said, what is that, man? This is a computer? It's a computer, yeah. He said, look at this, man. And it was storing information on a cassette tape, not on a disc. Remember the old days of the floppy disks and the disks and all this bullshit? This was before that. This is when it was a cassette tape. And he had a cassette tape, and he wrote programs. He'd say, okay, check this out, man. If I do this and I do that. Now, what are you doing there, man? I'm going to write a program here, man, that'll make this thing do this, that, or something else. Or I figured out how. I remember we had a golf tournament. And for many, many years, it was Don who fed all this shit into the computer and came up with he had a program on how to, you know, guesstimate or estimate everybody's handicap and where everybody stood and this and that. Now, if I would have asked that guy, what do you love, man? He'd probably say, man, I love golf, you know, and I love solving problems, maybe he'd say. That doesn't mean shit. I love computers. I never in a billion zillion years have ever heard the guy say that. But he wound up going into, from playing the guitar and singing all these funny songs and making up all this crazy shit and really being one of the funny, in fact, he's probably one of the funniest guys. The funniest guys that I know are not in show business. The funniest guys I know are not stand-up. I mean, I know a lot of funny guys in stand-up comedy, but the funniest guys that I know in this world are my friends, the Swede and Big D, and these two guys are nowhere. They got nothing to do with show business. One of them's a contractor. The other guy is a banking executive, now retired. And the Swede, yeah, semi-retired. That's the guy that's going off and galloping horses through freaking Mongolia. And those guys kill me, man. I mean, I can't, I laugh until I'm sick being around these guys. And their jobs have nothing to do with what I do or with, you know, entertainment. And if I was to ask either one of those guys, are you doing what you love? They'd probably say, are you shitting me? I know for a fact the Swede would look at me like I just lost my mind. Love? That guy is, he's one of the funniest guys I know because he's the most cynical sumbitch I know. I'll say to him things like, God damn, my back's aching. Yeah, you want to know why? Why? We're getting old, man. And you ain't never going to feel good again, man. You are not going to feel good again. You're going to be aching and you'll be sore till the day you drop, man. And I have a hard time sometimes. Is he serious? But whether he's serious or he's not, it's the funniest goddamn thing ever. It's the way he says it, you know, that just kills me. Yeah, you sure? Yeah, well, get used to it, man, because this is the way it is from here on out. Okay. You guys indulge me every Monday with my Phil-only podcast. I appreciate it very much. You know, it's a work in progress. Like I said at the very beginning, you never know. This may be the last one. But I enjoy doing it. It's a nice way to ease into the week for me. And that having been said, and you know something? I don't even know how I end this thing, but I think I'll just end it the way I always end it. Which is like this, you know. And this is the Phil Hendry Show, executive produced by me for Siempre Incorporated, all rights reserved on Podcast 1. See you tomorrow with the panel. Have a beautiful, beautiful time of it. Doing what you're good at.